Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Greetings and welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. That's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. That's discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. Well, nearing the end of the first half here, Gonzaga and UCLA, number one versus number two. We're going to get to a big story in the NFL in a second. But it has been all Zags. It is 44-25 right now, and it doesn't look like Gonzaga is letting up at all. They have just shot the lights out in the first half. UCLA has not been able to hit anything, and this is what happens. You're going to get a 20-point lead at halftime by the Zags. And, you know, look, people remember this team from last year, and they remember Drew Timmy, obviously. Look, this big historical game they had last year, everybody wanted to see it again. And look, Timmy's a great, great player. And again, I've said this many times, an NBA team is going to be so happy to get him, and they'll run their offense through him because he's big, he's smart, he is terrific. But a lot of people tonight are getting their first look at Chet Holmgren. And this is a kid who really, when it comes down to it, I think teams will default and take him number one overall if it comes down to it, because there simply is not a player like him that's as big as he is, that's a center, that can run the floor. He just had a coast-to-coast layup where it wasn't really a layup, where he had to stop and back up and threw up like a running one-hander off the glass. I mean, this kid is unbelievable. He's a seven-footer. He's got to fill out, obviously, because you can tell he's still really, really thin. But the talent level this kid has, being able, I mean, it's like he's up and down the floor in like three steps, and you can't keep up with him. He's got some kind of talent level. I know there's other players in the mix you got thinking about number one overall, but boy, you watch him play and you see him and go, my goodness, if this kid's going to get a little bit bigger, watching him run there's nobody in the NBA that would have his skill set, be able to run like him.
Listed at 7 feet tall, 195 pounds. My family would call it lean like a greyhound. 12.8, 6.8, 3.6, the number, shooting 70% from the field. I like the fact that his name is Chet. We don't have a lot of guys named Chet running around, so
No. Usually you hear Chet.
Look, I like unique value propositions. Yeah, I can get a center that runs the floor and his name is Chet. I win.
Yeah. Yeah, no, because, well, seriously, you think of someone's name as Chet. Oh, is that somebody? Oh, it's like they're like 85 years old. Like, that's somebody's grandfather or
great-grandfather.
No, but
that's the point. It's a legacy name. I'm sure you do an interview with him. He's going to talk about an uncle or a grandfather, or it's a family name, right? There's a lot of Chets running around in the family. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big deal.
I watch him run the floor, and I go, this is hypnotic. How is he able to do this? How is he able to get up and down so fast? And no, he doesn't quite have the power of Zion Williamson when Zion is healthy. But you see him, he's there really fast. And like I said, that unique skill set that he has. I mean, you watch Gonzaga win in this game. They're telling everybody right now, we're going to win the national championship this year. And I don't think we're going to lose on the way to go do it. You watch Drew Timmy just waving to the crowd as he's walking off the court at halftime. Hey, everybody, see you in a few minutes for the second half. We'll be back out to
lay
this ass whooping on
him.
We got it right here. We'll see you in a few minutes. I mean, Gonzaga.
Start chanting my name like I need an encore. Like all sorts of rock stars, right? We know they're coming back because they haven't played this song, that song, or the other. I mean, that's kind of what he's doing here. It's like, all right, we'll see you in a few. Just start chanting.
I mean, this is like watching one of the most talented Duke teams and you go, boy, how is Duke not going to win the NCAA championship this year? It's like, you watch this and go, man, How is Gonzaga going to lose? I mean, UCLA is really good, and this isn't even a game right now. And yes, any given day during the tournament, you don't know what could happen, the cold shooting day, injuries. It goes that way. But wow, I mean, this is really impressive what Gonzaga is doing to the UCLA Bruins right now.
No, sure.
This is ugly for UCLA.
UCLA at the half, 27.5% from the field, just 1 of 9 from three-point range, only 3 field goal free throw attempts, 2 of 3 as you roll through the decided rebounding advantage. Just go through all the metrics. It's just a beatdown as you roll through. Jaquez and Juzang combining for 14 points on 6 of 18 shooting. You mentioned the Zion Williamson comparison. I just have to throw that out, you know, because both are rarefied airs. His combination of size, speed, and the quickness and the ability to stay healthy. So those two things really tie together so much. So hopefully a better health situation for Chet Holmgren. I really can't wait to see what kind of diet he goes on to try to bulk up a little bit to get ready for the NBA.
Well, but you know, but that's the thing, is that the NBA has changed so much, and that, yes, you say, okay, as a 7-footer, you need to develop a lot of weight to be for the banging in the post. But that's not the NBA anymore. Yes, he's going to need to put on some weight, because you're not going to play at 7
or 1. Oh, no, I know, but that's what I mean. NBA. It's not a lot, but it's still I mean, if you got a metabolism that fast at 7 at 7 feet, that means you're still going to consume mass quantities. How many stories through the years of just trying to get guys to put on 10 or 15 pounds? Like, yeah, I went and had 37 Big Macs. You and I, we can't look at a Big Mac without getting a half a pound added to some portion of our frames.
How many calories?
For me, the posterior works for me here.
How many calories you have today? 10,000. How much weight you gain? I lost a half pound. No, oh, my God, keep eating.
What did you do? I walked around.
But the NBA's moved away from that. So you can be that big man that runs the floor and does things like that. You know, it's like he's going to be a better Porzingis, you know, with a better offensive game. I mean, you don't need to
look
be
at that. Now you're slandering your own guy. There.
Well, not my hasn't been my guy in a couple of years,
but
Mike
for
Harmon.
A couple of years, what do you got a pinata that guy now?
Not
as soon
my
as
guy
he leaves the Knicks,
years.
Everything. Yes. Look, and he can't stay
exactly.
healthy. This guy stinks. He's
100%.
Terrible.
Yes. Soon as he leaves, I turn that page, man.
For those
I'm
years,
done.
He was your guy. You had wallpaper. You know, they'd say mirrors on the ceiling. No, you had posters of Porzingis. Instead, you know, now as soon as he's gone, all that's ripped away.
Nope.
And
not our guy.
In
nope,
your
not
backyard.
My guy. You're gone. You're gone now. You're done. I'm sorry. You're done.
I mean, at some point for a holiday gift, I gave you a Porzingis photo. You probably burned it.
No, I still have it. I have the Porzingis photo. I mean,
it was a bit. Run with the bit.
It was. I know, but I'm telling you, I still have it, buddy. I want you to know you're my best friend. I'm not going to get rid of it. I still have it. It's not like I burned it.
I just thought it would have been funny. Come pay a visit. We're having a drink, and there's a singed corner on the Porzingis.
No, or his face is cut out, and Evan Fournier's face is put over it. Hey, all right. Let's get ready.
Is that an Evan Fournier photo signed by Kristaps Porzingis? Damn right it is.
It's worth exactly $150.
Well done.
So this is where we're at now at the half. Gonzaga leads UCLA by 20. It is some kind of performance, but I'm telling you, Chet Holmgren Watt could be that number one overall pick. Now, a very popular thing. A phrase in the NFL coming off of this week now, as we get through week 11, we're moving on, is that, boy, nobody's really good. And there are no great teams, because we've seen teams like the Bills, who we thought were really good, lose. The Ravens struggling without Lamar Jackson. The Chiefs are struggling. The Titans,
they won,
who
though.
Thought was really, you know, they did, but
it was
but
the Bears.
Yeah, but you know, look, they won, but they're still struggling a bit. The Titans, who we thought were really good, they struggle. They've lost some big games. The Cowboys have lost. So, there's no team. That is really incorrect, because what this means, it's not that there's no great teams. It's just that we don't know who the great teams are right now. There's great teams every year. No one backs their way into a bad year in winning the Super Bowl, right? We don't look at a team and go, oh, boy, they got left. It's not like you're watching the Suns run to the NBA Finals where everybody is hurt. All the, no, in the NFL, you know, you beat great teams. It's just that normally by Thanksgiving, we kind of know who the true upper echelon teams are, right? We know who they are at this point, and we look for them to get into the final month of the season, and this is where they had cruise control. They gut their way through games. You're getting home field. You're winning. You're clinching your division, and you're getting ready for the playoffs, right? That's kind of what we're at right now. But that's not the case, because there's many teams that you can say, and this is the NFL this year, they could go to the Super Bowl, they could miss the playoffs. Like, you could say that about a lot of teams, and it would be true. You could say about the Patriots. Patriots go to the Super Bowl. They could also miss the playoffs. Same thing with the Bills. You could say it with the Ravens and the Bengals. And I think the Colts might wind up winning the South over the Titans. The Chiefs could win the Super Bowl. They could also miss the playoffs. Same thing with the Cowboys. You got a couple of teams in the NFC that have a big enough lead. They're going to make the playoffs. But, yeah, we just don't know who they are yet, and it's going to be a couple more weeks. But by the time we get down to it, and there's 2 or 3 weeks left in the season, we're going to know who the great teams are. There will be the great teams in the NFC that the Super Bowl will go through, and there will be the great teams in the AFC the Super Bowl will go. We just don't know who they are. If Indianapolis wins 3 more games in a row, and suddenly they're 9-5, guess what? Indianapolis is a great team, despite the fact they're 9-5 because what they've done over the course of the past 2 months. Same thing would be true if the Chargers wind up winning a bunch of games in a row. If the Patriots win 3 more in a row, suddenly the Patriots are great because they've won now 8 games in a row. But it just is going to be a little bit more time before we know it. We'll know it, but usually we know right around Thanksgiving. Now it's more going to be the first or second week of December when you get into the final 2 or 3 weeks. But there will be great teams. They will all be there at the end. Everything is fine.
Well, I think it's the nature of the business, right? It's why we have MVP discussions in week 2. I celebrate Dan Byer's pyramid of the MVP race, the MVP pyramid that he puts out on his Twitter account. My partner on the I Want Your Flex podcast, fantasy purposes and all. But, you know, that's part of that is just breaking it down. And we like the immediacy, right? The highs and lows. And for the NFL this year, you said, you know, there's no great teams. The other great thing you keep hearing people say is like, we don't know anything. It's like, yeah, you do. Just teams don't win every week. Right, nobody's going undefeated. You're going to have games where there's an energy, there's the potential for a letdown. It's human beings, right? Like with Tennessee losing this week to Houston. Okay, you check the box saying, all right, Tennessee's the better team, but you got motivation coming off a bye week. All of these things conspire to, at some point, Tennessee can't keep running at the same pace. It's a long season, and there's going to be hiccups. Now you got A.J. Brown hurt, which is something that now informs, when you're already lost Derrick Henry, the rest of your season. But you've got the plenty of opportunity for teams to get hot. You're mixing and matching as the season goes on because you're managing injuries probably a little differently with the extra game added in. And certainly you've got the muddled middle here of trying to figure out. It's cannibalism, right? It's like we're talking about the Big Ten and some of these other conferences in college football. Like, some of those teams might be great, but you know what? You don't know because it's hard to win on the road in college football, in division, and in conference. And so you drop one here, and all of a sudden you're a mediocre team. You're even if you're 9-1 or 10-1, you're seen as less than. It's like, all right, you didn't suddenly drop 6 in a row. Like, we could talk about the Bears, you know, losing 8 straight games after bye weeks. How the hell do you do that? Right? All these other teams, you get better when you're away. All right, we can talk about problems like that and tell you where teams are bad, dysfunctional, whatever. But in terms of greatness, no, they don't have to be great right now. You're figuring it out, right? Bill Belichick for years. September didn't matter. It just didn't. We're evaluating. Why? Because we didn't get to hit anybody in training camp anymore. You're still working guys out, and then the first month is working through. Obviously, you're hoping to finish with a winning record or at least be 2-2, but you're trying to play in November and in December. And I think the rest of the league is finally trying to adopt a best practice policy, and which is where we're at right now. So it makes for great sports talk radio, great television, in all those local markets. It's the greatest thing. What are we doing this week? I don't know. Let's go to the callers. And then it's 50-50 for a segment. I was like, you know what? We still got a lot of callers and we have no decision. Let's go to the callers again. This is what the NFL absolutely loves, this kind of scenario. Chaos and a lot of pundits. And it's like, who's your pick out of the AFC? And you can have 10 guys with 10 different opinions, right? 10 men and women that go and they've analyzed and they looked at the strength of schedule going forward. And they all have different opinions. This is the best of all worlds. But to your point, eventually some team right at the end will suddenly look like the world beater. And we all have to converge back to that because we do.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yes, sir.
Early in the second half, It's still not a game. Gonzaga leads UCLA 45-25. Number one versus number two. It has been all Zags, and even though nobody scored so far, it's going to be tough for UCLA to eat into this 25-point lead that's kind of not who they are. And this has just been ugly from the get-go as Gonzaga is serving notice that, okay, we're a little pissed how it ended last year. We thought we were the best team. You know, we're undefeated all the way through. No. We're going to make that run again this year. It's like watching Clemson play football when they had the Trevor Lawrence to Sean Watson run where they would lose one game in 3 years. And it's, boy, they just keep beating the crap out of everybody. That's kind of what Gonzaga reminds me of here the last couple of years.
Well, you always have to remember that you can rise up and still be the guy that one day, right? The legend isn't dead. It can still, you know, as they say, blank you up every now and again. And that's what you saw even your reference to Clemson. Remember Wake Forest was in the conversation of goodness for a minute or two. How'd that work out for him?
Yeah.
Buzzsaw and Dabo getting it done. So as we look at the landscape of college basketball, it's always good when you've got someone who being the chased, right? We celebrated it. Duke, there's North Carolina teams, and now we have Gonzaga as the clear number one. I mean, kind of like in the football side, right? And you've got Georgia, and there's just the assumption that they're going to run through. And me being who I am, I still hope for chaos, Smith. I don't know how I'm going to get it, but I'm still hoping.
Yeah, I know. You can always say, hope is there, right? You can always, chaos is always, it always comes in at the last minute and you never expect it.
Well, that's why they call it chaos. One turnover away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in college buckets, hey, any given night, right? If UCLA has missed a lot of wide open jump shots, some other nights those are going to fall. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden we got a whole different experience.
And I just watched Chet Holmgren dribble between his legs and around two defenders and in for a flying slam dunk. He's got 11, 6, and 4 blocks tonight. Gonzaga leads UCLA 49-25. UCLA still looking for their first points of the second half. It has been an absolute dominance for Gonzaga. And look, it might be one of those years just like last year where we knew Gonzaga is going to be there at the end, and can you beat them? You know, like I said, they remind me a lot of Clemson in college football when they had that incredible run of talent and really a quarterback. They go Watson into Lawrence, and you know, here they are. That, you know, they're 11-1 every year or 12-0, and they win a national championship or they lose in the national championship. That's kind of Gonzaga, and it's kind of fun to have that, and it's fun seeing the dynasty, you know, in the middle of nowhere. You know, it's on the West Coast and games that people don't even get to see because they're hardly on national TV because most of their games are against teams that you don't really care to see. You really want to watch Gonzaga play LMU? All right, great. So it's kind of the anonymous dynasty that you're still curious about. It's fun in this day and age to be able to have a little bit of mystery about a team. Because like I said, people are watching Chet Holmgren for the first time tonight, and they're going, oh, my God, this kid is unbelievable. Oh, my God, yeah, he's been really good for the first few weeks of the season. He is that good, man.
Well, but it's the type of game that gets people to stay up and attach to their televisions, right? On a normal Tuesday night with Gonzaga, are people tuning in nationwide? No. They'll check the box score to see if they covered the number that they bet, but otherwise they're not watching until the tournament. And then all of a sudden everything is new. So you start seeing these guys like, and you know, mentioned Timmy. It's like, okay, well, we've seen him before. We know Timmy. Him. We know his deal. And now you add a 7-footer who runs the floor and his name's Chet.
Yeah, Tyshawn, I can't believe that's the first time you've run that Timmy drop tonight. We said Drew Timmy's name about 12 times. Where are you tonight, man?
You know what they say, already? Jay? Patience is a virtue.
Yeah, but like, but people come to expect that now. Like when we say Timmy, they expect to hear Timmy. I mean, they expect
the Timmy.
That now. When we say Jimmy, they expect to hear Jimmy. I mean, Jimmy. They expect certain things.
Sometimes it's good to wait, no?
Okay, how about this? If you said to me, hey, Jay, can you give me a ride to the airport? And I said, yeah. I said, great, I'll be at your house to get you. I know it's early in the morning. I'll get you there. And I don't show up. You're going to call me and go, Jay, what happened? You weren't here. What do you mean? Where am I? I missed my flight. Oh, well, you were expecting me to come pick you up. But, you know, I can't always do that. I got to have a little bit of mystery in there. So wow. I decided to not come pick you up and give you a ride to the airport.
So you're telling me you're going to compare me making you wait for Jimmy for an airport ride. Okay.
Timmy.
I see you.
I'm just saying, when there's expectations, you generally have to follow through on them.
So, Mike, I will be calling you for the airport ride. That's what
I got you,
right,
buddy.
Now.
Generally, I would say, you know, we're all grown-ass men, so, you know, find your Uber, find your... by the same token, you know, Tyshirt, I would pick you up.
Hey, guy, thank you.
Oh, that's really nice. And I would still pick you up. I was just doing that as a story.
I don't know, Jay, if I can trust
really,
you.
Really, what I would do is you would say, can you give me a ride to the airport at 6 in the morning? I would find a way to say, oh, no, I can't do that.
That sounds
I would,
about
I would
right.
find a way. I'm not, I would find a way to go, ooh, yeah, no, that's not going to work. Yeah, no, I can't. I would find some kind of excuse. I'm like, oh, I can't because that day I have to sleep and make sure I'm sleeping past 8 o'clock because I have a doctor's appointment for a checkup and I need to be able to check my EKG rates. And if I disturb REM sleep, they say I can't get it checked and I have to reschedule. So, yeah, no, I can't that day. I can't do it that day.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I looked at my schedule because I'm actually sleeping at 6 a.m., so I'm actually not going to be there.
No, I can't do that for you, man. No, I can't. I can't. That's always the most loaded question that you could ever have for somebody when someone calls, hey, what's up, man? Hey, what's going on? Hey, what are you doing on Sunday? And then you're going, crap. What do I say? Right? What do I say? Because I don't want to get roped into doing something I don't want to do. Like you say, hey, do you want to come over and help me go roofing? No, I don't want.
Roofing is fun though.
I'm 50. I don't get on roofs anymore. You know,
or you never did before, but certainly not at 50.
You know, I mean, when someone says, "What are you doing Sunday?" It's almost like it's a test. I want to see if you're really my friend. Because if you're my friend, you'll say nothing. What's going on? But if you say, "Oh, I might have something." Why? What is it? You know, I mean,
but you know, you're also a bad friend if the way you phrase that coming in, just try to ask the favor. Just ask the favor. Hey, what you doing on Sunday?
It's what like, you doing
all right,
on Sunday?
On one hand, this could be really exciting. They've gotten access to some concert tickets. Maybe there's a game I wanted to go to. Maybe, you know, the Lakers, Clippers, Rams, Chargers. You know, I can go watch Justin Herbert, you know, take a punch better than most people. You know, I can do that. Or behind door number two is you're about to ask me for something. And you're going to put me out on my, you know, evening off. So, yeah, I'm going to come with some reticence. So just ask the question.
What are you doing Sunday? Oh, I got plans. I'm jammed up. Oh, I had an extra ticket to the Lakers game. Oh, wait, what time is the game? Wait, I might be able to, what time is the game? Oh, you know, I can make it.
But being a good friend and not, you know, with your motives, you know, that get kind of dastardly, you know, or potentially so, and cause some awkwardness, you just say, hey, I got an extra ticket for the Lakers on Sunday. Right, that's how you avoid any of the problems. I just solved a lot of relationship issues, you know, because now you're just being straight and to the point.
Yeah, the other one is my favorite, and this is and my friends do this all the time, and I can't stand it. And maybe I probably need new friends, new people. But when hey, we're gonna have like let's just say, hey, what do you think if we had a party? I'm just throwing this out there. Like, hey, we're gonna have a party to celebrate. You know, we're going to have a Halloween party, let's just say. We have a Halloween party on, not Halloween, but on the Saturday, on the 29th, you know, and we invite. And then the people who respond and say, yeah, I think we can make it. I have to see what's going on that day. In other words, I don't know that I want to come to your party. If we're not absolutely doing anything, maybe we'll come by. But no, I don't like you enough to say, oh, you're having a party and inviting me? That's very nice of you. I'd love to come. I can't stand that. Yeah, I think so. But let me see what's going on that day. Oh, yeah, okay. At that point, whenever I say that, I want to say to people, yeah, sorry, no, that invitation is gone now. We live in a different world than we did 30 seconds ago when I invited you. If you can't say yes or no, then done. But if you're going to say, if you're going to give me the, yeah, if we're not absolutely doing anything and we want, all right, then we'll, you know, yeah, then we'll be okay. But if there's anything going on that we could potentially maybe like a little bit, we're going to do that instead and say, sorry, we can't make it.
Now, to be fair, occasionally you may have stuff that hasn't been put into the group calendar properly. So you really don't know until you consult other people whether you have committed to something else. Or your services, say as a driver when you have teenage daughters, where you've been committed somewhere else without knowing it. So saying, I don't know yet, I'll have to get back to you, to me is a perfectly acceptable answer. But I'm coming from a different frame of reference and a vantage point. The other part with your Halloween party scenario is it an adult party?
Is it an adult party?
Oh, yeah, it's a question of, you know, your friends and intents and, you know, what the party can become.
No, I'm just saying that's exactly.
See how I turned that to a whole other
you
world?
Did. Yeah, you did. You did turn it there. You still didn't make me feel any better, but you did turn it a bit. No, you did.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, just really quick to finish the roofing story, because this is this was,
now you have a roofing.
No, because I want people to understand I'm not meaning anything by this. Is that when I learned this lesson when I was younger, I was hanging out with my friends one night. We were out one night at a bar drinking, and my friend said, "Hey, dude, you want to go roofing with us tomorrow?" And I was like, sure. I didn't know what it was. I thought we were going to go hang out on the roof and we're going to listen to music
That sounds completely illegal and problematic.
No.
Are you kidding me?
I thought it was, roofing sounds like what we're going to do. We're going to get on a roof. We're going to hang out. All right. That sounds like fun. No, then they came and picked me up 8:30 in the morning and I was on a roof and I went roofing. They needed another person for their crew. I mean, I got paid pretty well for the day, but
I was going to say,
oh my God, I busted my ass from 8:30 in the morning until 8 o'clock at night. I'm like, I am never doing that again. Oh my God. I said, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know I'd be putting tar on a roof and doing all. And we worked on three houses. I'm like, I'm never doing that again.
I tell you what, we're lucky that we get to open mouth, say things, try to entertain, inform folks as part of our jobs here. But, I did that for a couple of summers. That was part of, some construction stuff that I did. Sometimes you're helping roof houses. Other times you're doing other things around the yards, hauling, materials, whatever. I mean, real labor to where you're sore as hell the next day. It's like full respect for folks, and that's your vocation. That's your family business. That's something you're part of. I mean, I have the utmost respect. I mean, I did it for a while, and yeah, you can make some pretty decent money, but, your body's paying the price. So I feel you, man. Mm-hmm. But those were fun days. Fun days at the end, because you felt like you accomplished something because you finished a roof. And now you say those folks, hopefully there's never a leak. And now they can watch TV or listen to the radio and hear me talk about it in great comfort.
I am never doing that again. Hey, you want to do it next week? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to do it next week. I'm good. I just spent my Friday off from work at the supermarket roofing for 12 hours. I'm not doing that again. No, I'm done.
Well, someone had to do was break some cantaloupes or whatever, and you would have felt right at home.
No, look, I like getting paid. It was great. The guy paid me in cash. I was like, oh my God, I got all this money. This is great. I said, now I'm exhausted.
Well, that you just unleashed a whole other benefit to that.
I got a sunburn.
Hustle there. It's like I got paid in cash.
It was awful. This is almost 30 years ago now, so it's okay. I'm like, but it was great. But I'm like, now I got sunburn. I feel awful. I'm just sore, and it was just not fun. I can't even go out tonight. I'm so tired. I just got to go.
Did you have a couple of bohemian beers at the end of the day?
I just wanted to sit on the roof with sun on our shoulders and feel like regular men. I think that's what Andy wanted to do for us that day. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike Gets Swollen Dome, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Coming up next, there is one way to ruin a young quarterback, and one team is clearly intent on doing that in the NFL. Here's a hint. It's not Cleveland. Although, it's not Cleveland.
Wrong.
It's not Chicago. You got any more fun drops there, fun guy?
Yeah, I got one. You want to hear it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Timber.
That's coming up next. Keep it right here. Jason and Mike Fox.
Yes, sir, brownies. Juice.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
9 minutes left to go, and Gonzaga misses a big free throw, so their lead over UCLA remains at 23. 67-44 right now with 9 minutes left to go in the game. It has been all Gonzaga from the beginning. It has been a rout. UCLA is really good, and they look like a JV team with what Gonzaga has been doing to them so far in this game. So we'll have more on this coming up in a little bit, because this is really the number one team in the country serving notice that, yeah, you think you're going to beat us. You think this is going to be a year where we're not quite as good as we were last year. No, we're going to be even better, and we're going to beat the crap out of all of you because we were almost undefeated last year, and now we got to finish. So that's really the message that Gonzaga is throwing out there tonight.
I really think that's the only analysis of the game that needs to be done. As for UCLA, I go back to the great composer Mark Knopfler off the album On Every Street, The Bug. Sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug. Tonight, unlike most games they will play for the rest of the year, UCLA is the bug.
Yep. Yep. I tell my girls.
That just breaks it right down.
I tell my girls that in soccer all the time, or in softball, when if there's a game that we lose, you know, pretty big, we get together after the game, and I always give them the old Lawrence Taylor line. What I say, I go, "What do I say, girls? Sometimes you to hammer," and then they jump in and say, "Sometimes you to nail." And I said, "Exactly. Tonight we were the nail. Hey, sometimes we're the hammer, but tonight we were the nail." And you know, it picks them up a little bit after that. But boy, this is definitely a hammer nail windshield bug situation for you. UCLA against Gonzaga. So again, 22-point lead for the Zags, and we'll have more on this coming up in a little bit. But a big quarterback decision was made today, and I need to say this because this clearly is what I am most afraid of in the NFL. Zach Wilson's coming back for the Jets. I'm not afraid of Zach Wilson coming back. I'm glad he's coming back. And he kind of has to.
Afraid of Zach Wilson right now, though.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, Mike White and Joe Flacco are both put on the COVID list because Mike White tested positive for COVID and Joe Flacco's a close contact. So Zach Wilson is back and he's ready. And look, Robert Saleh talked about the fact that when Zach Wilson felt confident with his knee, he'd be back in the lineup and everything seems to be all systems go. The Jets need to see him. He needs to play the last seven games and he needs to show that, you know, yes, you're our quarterback of the future, man. This is a very big stretch for him because if not, he turns into Sam Darnold, and it's okay, he didn't flash and he really needs to, and if a guy doesn't flash at all in his first year, is he still your answer, or are you just waiting him out so you can move on from him? Because guys, teams are going to get that quarterback wrong in the first round. You don't want it to be you, but right now the only team that looks like they've missed in the first round quarterback has been the Jets. So hopefully after a chance to sit back and watch, the game slows down a little bit for him. But here's my big worry, and this gets bigger than just Zach Wilson and the Jets, is that there is no easier and quicker way to ruin a quarterback and ruin him by going scheme over player, right? And that's what Robert Saleh and the Jets are doing. Why do the Jets get thumped every single week? They shouldn't be. Why do they lose? Why do they make bad plays? Why do they give up gash yardage plays? And Tua is able to have the best game he's had in weeks because the Jets, you know, biff coverages and he's able to throw 60 yards downfield. Because the Jets and Robert Saleh, this is the biggest thing. This is my biggest issue. When teams go scheme over player. Because when you go scheme over player, you ain't going to win. Because when you're trying to get players who do one thing well or certain thing well and say, no, we want you to play within our system here, that's never going to work. Unless you can get all the players in that are playing in your system and identify them, you're going to get killed. Look, this is what Belichick has done for years. Why does he like this free agent so much? Player over scheme, right? You know, this is a guy that come in and play in our scheme. We're not going to go just get a great player and say, we're going to try to fit you into the scheme we're doing. We go get a player that fits into our scheme. Or we adjust the scheme around the players when we have that certain type of talent. But this is what the Jets have done. The Jets do scheme over player. The Jets' best players are on the defensive line, but they only play 60% of the time because they believe in a rotation. And they can't have the same defensive lineman out there play after play. So your best player are playing 60% of the snaps on the DL, which is ridiculously stupid. And that's why the Jets defense is terrible. They're going to do the same thing with Zach Wilson. Now we got to fit him into our system. This is the system that we're bringing over from San Francisco for our quarterback. being a West Coast quarterback and doing, that's not what Zach Wilson does. Zach Wilson gets out of the pocket and he's able to make plays and he's able to throw when he gets outside the pocket. It's his unpredictability and his ability to make something out of nothing and play street ball like Brett Favre, which is what makes him a quarterback. That's what makes him great. But the Jets say, oh, we want to turn you into a boring quarterback where you're making your quick reads, you're throwing like this. He even said a couple weeks ago, I think I need to be more like Mike White. Now I know the Jets are ruining the kid because it's like, no, we're going to take what you do well and try to make you do something else. And that's what worries me the most, is that that's why the Jets are going to ruin him, because they're going to make him conform to this is the offensive system we want to run. You got to let Zach Wilson do his thing and you got to run the system around him. Don't tell him, make the safe. Let him see what it is to throw the football deep in the NFL. Okay, that's a throw I can make. That's a throw I can't make. I'm learning. You're learning. Your team stinks. Take the rest of this season and make sure that you know you have the right guy and you're allowing him to feel himself in the NFL and know what he can do and what he can't do and what plays he can ad lib on and what plays he needs to make his throws on. But this has been a whole thing. It's been scheme over player, and this is why the Jets stink. And this is why Zach Wilson is the only quarterback that hasn't really flashed, because it's, we're going to make you into this guy when your skill set is clearly not what we have planned here for the Jets.
Yeah, the completion percentage is definitely disappointing, but I can't put it all on Zach Wilson. Like, he played pretty well against Carolina. They got a win over Tennessee, right? Maybe that's a great win. Maybe that's not, but they're one of the contenders right now. Your offensive line's trash. You're not getting guys healthy. Defensively, you give up big play after big play, as you said. We're not seeing the defenders even on our television screen. Who's guarding him? Don't know. Go to the All-22. That's the only way you're going to see it, because otherwise they're not on the screen, except for that fan in the 40-yard line who might have gotten a great shot of it to show how much space there was. But for Zach Wilson, I don't know. Do you have an elite receiver on the squad? I don't know. Elijah Moore might be something, but Jamison Crowder, whatever. So when Zach Wilson said, I got to be more like Mike White, and Saleh kind of echoed the same thing, it's like, all right, take what's there, right? Wasn't that the criticism of Patrick Mahomes for 10 weeks, is that he kept trying to push it, and you had some of those 50-50 balls went the other way? So why not take what the defense is allowing you to do and slowly but surely? It's not exciting football, but it's winning football. And who's to say the other ones are 100% right between Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields? The only guy right now I'm really looking at, or Trey Lance. The only guy I'm looking at saying I know what he is, at least for the moment, is Mac Jones. Mm. Take that.
Mm. You didn't make me feel better, buddy.
On sunshine,
I know you tried.
Baby.
You didn't make me feel better. You didn't.
I tried, buddy.
Coming up next, we'll get back into a big football story and explain the unexplainable. Fox.